Amen. Thank you, praise team. I hope you understand that that is what Easter for us as Christians is all about. It was Good Friday. So many people have Friday off, and so many folks are getting paid to stay at home. But it's good for us, because that Friday, that's what my Lord and Savior went through. It wasn't good for him. See, we take Easter and we color Easter eggs, and you do those little vinegar dips, and you have the little things, and you do the Easter eggs, and you make all these wonderful colors, and you want to go out, and you want to get a beautiful dress so you can come to services. Those things are wonderful. Whatever brings family together for traditions. Traditions aren't wrong. Whatever brings your family together. But you know what? For the church, that's what brings us together. It's the cross of Calvary. That is what my Lord and Savior. You could see his face. It was the face of a man. But think about this. As Isaiah said, he was beaten beyond all recognition of a man. That's what he went through, so we could have heaven and eternal life. So many people don't want to go there. They don't want to go there. T.F. Tenney, he said this: Jesus fed 5,000, but only 500 followed him after lunch. He had 120 disciples, but you know what? When he gave him some hard things to understand, many of them left and never followed him no more. He had 12 close personal disciples. But you know, only three of them went up to the Garden of Gethsemane with him. And then on the cross, only one stood by him as he was killed. You know, the whole point of that was, the closer you get to the cross, the smaller the crowd becomes. Amen? Stop and think about that. You know, everybody's searching for something. Everybody wants something to believe in. And there's so many religions, there's so many, all these things throughout the world, and so many people have questions of which one is right. How do you know what you believe is right? But Christianity stands alone. It stands apart from every other religion around the world. You know, you can tell a religion based off of what they believe it takes to get to heaven. And every religion says you can work your way there. But you know what Christianity says? God came down and made a way so that we can get back there. Because he knew that there was no way that we could do that. The truth of Christianity says God came down. In Romans chapter 5 verse 8, Paul says, "But God demonstrated his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus, he stepped out of heaven, came down, and went through that for us. Before we could do anything, people are always saying, when I clean my life up, when I do this, when I become a better person, then I'll accept Jesus. But Jesus said, before you did anything, I went to the cross for you. Because there's nothing you can do to clean your life up. What Jesus did. He fixes us from the inside out. We don't fix ourselves. So many people think that you have to do this or do that in order to appease God's wrath. But God did it himself. He came down and loved us so much so that he could appease his own wrath for us, so that we could have forgiveness of sin, heaven, and eternal life. Jesus died on that cross before we had a chance to do anything. And what you do is you believe what Jesus did in his death, burial, and resurrection. The Bible says that salvation comes to you. Psalm 145, verse 18 and 19 says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon him. He also will hear their cry and save them." It's a cry unto God. "Lord, I recognize I'm a sinner. Forgive me. I believe in what Jesus did in his death, burial, and resurrection. Save me." And the Bible says that he will save you. There's only one mediator between God. So many religions and cults say that you have to do this or do that or call upon this. But the Bible says that Jesus is the mediator between God and man. Matter of fact, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 through 6, he said, "For there is one God, and there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for everybody." It was because of what he did that reconciles us back to God. The only person that can connect us to heaven is Jesus Christ. Listen, I want you to listen to this verse. This is one of the... It has power. It's amazing. In Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, Paul says this, "Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared..." He was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. Everything relied on the resurrection of the dead. Now, our English takes so much away because we can't put some of the emphasis into our English language like what is there in the Hebrew and the Greek. And so, that English word declared, we look at that. He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection. He was declared. And you'd miss that if you don't know the Greek. That Greek word there is horizo. And it is where we get our English word horizon. You know what the horizon is? It's that definition line. It's that clear, defined line that separates earth from heaven. Amen? And guess what? Jesus Christ is that crystal clear, defining line between man and God. Isn't that beautiful? What a picture that Jesus Christ is declared. He has made the horizon for us by the resurrection of the dead. Oh, we don't have to be separated anymore. Heaven and earth can be combined by the horizon line. And that's only by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But most importantly, the resurrection. Listen, we've talked about this before. And me and Matt go back and forth and we try to strengthen one another. Do you know so many people have died for religion? So many people have shed their blood for religion. So many people have died. But there's one event in Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection that stands apart from any other. And that's the resurrection. Jesus came back from the dead. Amen. Amen? This is everything of what our Christianity stands on. If Jesus didn't come back from the dead, what I'm doing here right now is stupid. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says this in verse 16 through 19. He says, "And if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Jesus Christ didn't come back from the dead. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. And in that case, all who have died believing in Jesus Christ, they're still lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, then we're more to be pitied than anybody in the world. If Jesus didn't come back from the dead, my goodness, you have just wasted your entire life." But he did. Everything rested on the resurrection. There is more archaeological evidence. There is more historical evidence. There is more, I forget all of the... You go back through. Matter of fact, Lee Strobel was an investigative reporter. And his wife accepted Jesus Christ. And you know what he did? He said, "I'm going to go and I'm going to prove her wrong. And I'm going to use my investigative reporter skills and I'm going to prove that she is wrong." And he came to faith in Jesus Christ because there was more evidence to back up Jesus rose from the dead than anything else. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Listen, folks, if Jesus didn't come back from the dead, what we do is useless. But he did. He came back from the dead. Now we have hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Because Jesus rose from the dead, it validated everything that he said was 100% accurate and true. In John chapter 2, verse 18 through 22, Jesus said, he's talking to some Jews, and they said, well, what sign do you give us? Because in the Old Testament, God said he was going to give them a sign. And of course, he gave many signs. And they said, well, what sign are you going to give us? And Jesus said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. And the Jews said, well, it's taken, 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days? And then in verse 21, he says, but he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. When Jesus came back from the dead, it validated everything that he told them. Everything that he said became true. Because Jesus has authority over everything. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 through 29, and it was so when Jesus had ended all of his sayings, the people were astonished at his teaching because he taught them as somebody who had authority and not as the scribes. See, the scribes got their authority from the law, so they taught the law. So they told everybody what the law said. But they were amazed at Jesus because he was the one who was the lawgiver. And he taught and had authority as one doing that. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus came and he said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And when he was raised from the dead, it backed up the authority that he had. You know, when somebody raises themselves from the dead, I think it holds a little bit more weight, doesn't it? Anybody ever rose themselves from the dead? I haven't either. And what I say don't mean a hill of beans. This is kind of childish, but that's okay. We're the Bible says, come as a child. That's heaven. You know who Genghis Khan was? This may be funny. There is more to back up the resurrection of Jesus Christ than to give you if Genghis Khan ever lived. There is less written about him than Jesus. Do you know that? But when Genghis Khan lived his life as a Mongol warlord, tried to conquer the world in his lifetime, when he died, he's still in the grave. Amen? Do you know who? And I got to read this because this is funny. Siddhartha Gautama. You know who that guy is? No, I didn't either. That was his birth name. His name's Buddha. He was a real man. Did you know that? Philosopher and all kinds of things. Do you know that he died? He's still in the ground. Amen? You know the Chinese philosopher Confucius? He had a lot of wise words, I'm telling you. You know? When he died, he's still in the ground. You know Muhammad? He was Islam's prophet. You know what happened when he died? He's still in the ground. Do you know? Was this Harry Houdini? That's a fun one. When Harry Houdini died, he promised his wife that he would try to come back from the grave to communicate with his wife. You know what happened when he died? He's still there. And when they held the seance to try to communicate with him, nothing happened. You know what happened when Jesus Christ died? Death couldn't stop him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Because when he died, he rose again the third day. Amen? When Jesus died, he came back on the third day just as he said he would. And that holds a little bit more weight. You saw him in his crucified body. You saw him. He was unrecognizable as a man. And when he got up out of that grave, nobody recognized him. Because the last time they saw him, he didn't look too pretty. And now he's in his glorified body. And because he rose from the dead, that guarantees us a resurrected body as well. Amen? Listen. Salvation is based on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. You want to know what salvation is? This is salvation. Paul says, for I delivered to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Listen, in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, God says, life of the flesh is in the blood. It's about the blood. And he said, I've given you the blood, the shed blood, to make atonement for your souls. But the issue is that the blood of bulls and goats and everybody that shed their blood was not good enough. That's why God knew that his son was going to be the only sacrifice good enough to pay for your sins. That's why Jesus, the only man born to actually die, live a sinless life. The death of the innocent, substitutionary death of the innocent for us. That Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And then he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is what salvation is. You recognize that you're a sinner. Nothing you can do, no amount of good works. Matter of fact, Jesus in Luke 18, 19 says there's nobody good but God. And so nothing you can do, no amount of works, nothing can reconcile you to appease God's wrath. It's what Jesus did on the cross. When you recognize you're a sinner and say, Lord Jesus, it's not about the words. There's no sinner's prayer. It's just your belief. And when you believe here, you'll confess it here. Amen. One day, so many years ago, I stood back here. It was a little different back then. But I remember the light coming in, shining on that man's Bible. And he took me down the Romans road. And he said, do you understand you're a sinner? And I said, oh yeah. And if I died this way, I wouldn't go to heaven, that's for sure. And he said, do you know that Jesus died for your sins? And I said, I do. And he said, confess that to Jesus. And I said, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. And I ask you to come into my heart and save me. And you know, I believe that day that Lord Jesus saved my soul. Amen. And I became a new creature in Jesus Christ. And I may not have lived for him ever since, but I've tried everything I could to be pleasing, to show that I'm a child of God to a lost and dying world. Look, folks, it's not about what we do, it's about who we are. And when Jesus did all the work and died on the cross for our sins, when you believe that, that makes you a child of God. And salvation comes to you. We've sung the hymn for so many years. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And that's where salvation rests. Do you know him? When this life is over, what hope do you have for eternity? Got Jesus? You know, we'll close our service here and transition into the Lord's Supper, what we call communion. And hopefully you've gotten your little communion juice and cracker. And so in just a moment, we're going to have a brief moment of invitation for self-examination, for you to look at your life. And as the music will play here in a moment, no one looking around, with everyone being attentive to what Jesus did on the cross. Examine yourself. You know, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never confessed your sinfulness to Christ, communion is for those that are saved. We invite you to come. Me and Matt will be up here. We'd love to show you from the Bible. Do you know in John 5:13 it says that you can know for sure that you have heaven and eternal life? Do you know for sure? If you don't, I would suggest maybe not taking the Lord's Supper. See, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul went through this whole thing. Let a man examine himself so that you don't partake in an unworthily manner. See, baptism is a first act of obedience. If you've never been baptized, maybe you shouldn't partake. If you've got something against another believer, you should get right. During this moment of invitation, I encourage you to get right with someone. It was a very serious thing to take the Lord's Supper. Because you brought condemnation on Christ's blood and body. And it's what we're about to do here, to remember everything he did there.